Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen and living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The word of God that we meditate upon this night is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verses 14 to 20. Then he said to them, "With fervent desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it amongst yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." So far our text. Sanctify us by your word, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. The night before Jesus died, Jesus gave to his disciples the institution of the Lord's Supper. And in that institution, he bound them and us together. My wife and I recently found out that you can cook a chicken, a whole chicken, in a crock pot, and it works really well. It comes out nice and moist and juicy, and you don't have to go every 20 minutes and open the oven and try and reach in and squirt the juices over the top of it to keep it moist. There's only one problem with cooking a whole chicken in a crock pot, and that problem is that after it's done, 6 to 8 hours in the crock pot, you've got to take it out, you've got to broil it for a few minutes to make the skin nice and crispy and delicious. But it's very difficult to get a chicken well cooked out of that crock pot. It has a tendency to fall apart as soon as you try and pick it up, no matter what kind of utensil you use. I just recently figured out the solution. The solution is I take cooking twine and I wrap it all around that chicken, tying it up, binding it together, so that when it's done, all I got to do is grab that twine and pull the chicken lifts right out, put it on a plate, stick it in and broil it a few minutes. The skin is nice and crispy, delicious. In our text, the night before he died, Jesus similarly bound us all together. He bound all Christians together in him through the Lord's Supper. All the way from Adam and Eve until the time when he comes again in glory. All believers here in the U.S., in India, in Africa, wherever they might be in the world. He binds us all together in one through the Lord's Supper. Listen again to what he says in our text. He says, "With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Do you notice he talks about the Passover? He talks about the Lord's Supper, and he talks about the festival in the kingdom, and he talks about all three of these as though they are one, because they are one. "I want to eat the Passover with you," talking about the Lord's Supper, "and I will not eat it again until the last day." Just like a frog, right? Just like a frog begins its life as an egg, and it becomes a tadpole, and then it becomes a frog, and each stage looks very different. And if you didn't know any better, you would say that they're different animals even, probably. And yet they're one thing, aren't they? So the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is the fulfillment of the Passover and the predecessor to that final festival, that final celebration in the kingdom of God. And so through it, all Christians are bound together. From the time of the Old Testament through the New Testament, even until the fulfillment of all things in the kingdom of God. It began with the Passover. It began even before the Passover. It began with God coming to walk with Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening. It continued when the Lord came to visit Abraham. And what did Abraham do? He went out and killed a calf and made supper for the Lord, prepared it for him and served it to him, and stood there with him while he ate. It is the evening meal, the communion, the fellowship that we as a individual families love to celebrate with our children, to come together in the evening to eat. The Lord did for us by giving us the Lord's Supper, binding us all together, the whole Christian church from the beginning of time until the end, here and on the other side of the world, bound together with the twine of the Lord's Supper. The writer of Hebrews reminds us how we are one in Hebrews 11. Verses 39 to 40. And all these, he's talking about all of the Old Testament faithful, all of the believers from the Old Testament, all these having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Does he say that we are all made perfect? We are all brought together in Christ in the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is therefore a fellowship, a communion, a joining together of all believers in one. But it not only joins together all believers, it joins us together as a congregation, making us one in Christ, one family. What does Paul say? 1 Corinthians 10:17. For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. Those who wear a wedding ring profess that they are joined together, that they are one through marriage. And so those who come together to celebrate the Lord's Supper confess that they are one, they are one family, that they are bound together by that supper and in Christ. Is it no wonder that we practice close communion, that we celebrate and rejoice in that closeness, that oneness that we have in Christ, and that we don't make a mockery of that oneness that is ours in the Lord's Supper by pretending that we are one with those with whom we are not? I never once went to a Christmas celebration with the Myers until the December when I was engaged to Vanessa. When I was engaged, I was part of their family. And now I celebrate Christmas with them. And so we don't mock that oneness we have in Christ by simply celebrating the Lord's Supper with whomever, but we reserve it as something precious and special for those with whom we are united. For those with whom we do profess and confess the truth of God's word, that oneness that Christ gives us. We are a family. We are brought together and tied together as a family through the Lord's Supper. And like any family, we fight, right? We have our troubles. We have our problems with one another. But a family is not defined by how often they fight. A family is defined by how often they forgive. And in the Lord's Supper, we receive forgiveness. We receive forgiveness from Christ, and we receive the ability to forgive one another. This is part of why the Lord's Supper binds us together as one congregation, as one family, because it teaches us how to forgive one another. We are a family. We are one in Christ. We are bound together by the Lord's Supper, even when we don't really feel like a family. Even when we come to church and it feels more like a group of random people who just happen to worship together. Nevertheless, we are bound together as a family in the Lord's Supper. Even when we can't come to church like tonight, even when we can't celebrate the Lord's Supper, and what a sad and terrible thing it is that we are unable to come together this evening and rejoice in that celebration of that oneness that we have in Christ and receive that forgiveness and forgive one another. But even though we can't come together tonight to celebrate it in person, nevertheless, those of us who have partaken together of that body and blood of Christ are still bound together through that twine. In that oneness of Christ, we are bound together as a family in the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper binds us together with all Christians. It binds us together as a congregation, as a family. It also binds us to Christ and keeps us with him until the day of salvation. 1 Corinthians 10:16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? The joining together of us with Christ. And also in 1 John 1:3, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. More important than the fact that we are bound together as a family, as wonderful as that is, more important in the Lord's Supper, we are bound to Christ. In movies, the criminals, the men in prison are often bound together with chains, right? And so if you want to escape from prison, you have to take the guy whose ankle is chained to you. You got to take him with you. You're not going to go anywhere without that guy. You're bound together. So also we are bound together with Christ so that he bound us together to him so that where he is, we must go also. The night before he died, the night before he was betrayed, Jesus was concerned. He was worried, but he was not concerned or worried with his death. I mean, that came later, but at this point, he was not concerned or worried about himself or making sure he had the best last meal. He was concerned about his disciples. He was concerned about the tribulation that they would face. He was concerned about making sure that they made it through. Not only the suffering and tribulation of Good Friday, and of that weekend before he arose, but the suffering and tribulation that they would endure their whole life. And so he bound them to himself. He bound them with the chain of the Lord's Supper so that they could not depart, so that he could pull them and us through, so that we would be bound to him unto the day of salvation. The Lord's Supper binds us to Christ, so that we are kept by his power through faith unto the day of the fulfillment, until the day of the feast in the kingdom of God. The Lord's Supper binds us. It binds us together with all Christians. It binds us together with one another as a congregation, as a family, but most importantly, it binds us to Christ, so that where he is, we must be also. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.